This program was produced and first aired on Access Manawatu with support from New Zealand On Air.
Community Access Radio. Access Manawatu.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. My name is Stuart Burks. I have with me today
Roger Mann
and
Paul McRae.
Paul McRae. Okay, and we're here to hear about some aspects of Paul's story, and he has just been telling me his family came here in the mid-1800s, was that, Paul? So, and what's the story of them coming here? How did they get here?
Well, my great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, was a widow with four boys and two girls. Arrived in New Zealand, went to Hokanui, that was in the mid-1800s, and started. She arrived here with two trunks. One had clothes in it, and one had a stool.
And, oh, in Hokanui. Now, how old was she at that stage?
I'm not quite sure how old she actually was, but she wasn't very old. And she went to Hokanui, started up her stool. She made whiskey for the magistrate, the police, and what have you, of course, illegally. Then one time the customs arrived with it to inspect it, and they got her pack horse, put a saddle on it, back saddled and chased it round the farm, and it never went anywhere near the stool. And all they had to do was put a bag of grain or something on it. The horse knew that this was for the whiskey.
The grain goes to the whiskey and the saddle goes everywhere.
That's brilliant. But anyway, there is a book about it, but
so is she the original? So I know Hokanui was noted.
She was the one.
She
inspired all the rich people and what have you. And up as far as Dunedin. Southland, of course, Invercargill. And of course the customs came from Wellington. They didn't know much about it. But anyway, and then my grandfather was Chris McRae, one of the sons. He went to Nelson, had a farm in Nelson, but he didn't do whiskey. And he had three sons and two daughters. Now, Chris McRae was well over 6 foot. That's the grandfather. And the first son was the shortest. He was about 5 foot 10. 6 foot 10. Sorry, 5 foot 10. But the second son was 7 foot 2. Arthur McRae was a priest in Wellington. My father was 6 foot 7. And
that would be quite unusual for that time.
They're all big.
In fact, is it the whiskey that did that?
Anyway, and then my father was a boxer for a start. He was in Wellington and won the Wellington area heavyweight championships. He won the Wellington district that goes from New Plymouth across to Napier, heavyweight, and then the New Zealand. It was in 1924. And then he often tells the story, he did training, went bushwhacking in the good old days, you know, with the axe and saw, and he got put off smoking because the guys used to work all day and then go into town at night to get cigarettes and tobacco. And he thought, well, if you've got to do that, I'm not going to smoke. he never had a smoke in his life. Anyway, then he joined the police force. He went in Wellington, and there was he got married. I forget the date now that he actually got married, but what did he do then? He was a policeman on the wharf in Wellington, and then he got transferred from there to Levin. Now, most of my family, he had 5 boys and 4 girls. There's 9 of us. And I was born in Wellington. Then we went, he was transferred to Levin. And then he went to, from Levin, he was only in Levin a while. And then he went to Akara. And then that's where I started school. Yeah, and
where were you in the lineup?
I was right in the middle. There was 2 girls were the oldest. Then there was 2 boys. And then there was myself. And then there was 2 boys and 2 girls. The only ones alive now are myself and 2 daughters, 2 sisters, young sisters. Anyway, then we went to Akara, and that's where I went to school, started school. Then he was, in 1939, he was transferred to Christchurch. And isn't it great that 39, I wasn't very old. I was born in 1932, 39, and I can remember where we were. 77 River Road, Christchurch, right by the river.
Yeah.
Now, my father was a very strong swimmer, and by the time we were 2 and 3, we could all swim.
Mm-hmm.
He took us, and we would go to...
And you swim in the river or in swimming pools?
Swim in the river, yep. And it was all clean in those days. It's apparently not now. Anyway, what else did we do? I can remember we had a large section, and then we had 4 cherry trees that used to rot on the ground, but we used to sneak through the fence to the next door neighbours.
Kids.
She used to stand at the window and watch us. Because they would only rot on the ground at anywhere, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, in those days.
I mean, the cherry trees were next door, were they?
We had 5 that we didn't touch.
You didn't touch yours, you stole hers?
They were sweeter on the other side of the fence, as kids.
Yes.
Well, what do you reckon?
The other man's breast.
That's life, isn't it?
Yes.
And did she have children that stole yours?
No, she was on her own.
Okay.
She was on her own,
Was it normal then to have such large families?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there were quite a few large families in those days.
We're getting some background hammering here. There must be some renovation.
Oh, doing some work.
And what else was there?
What about your mother's family then? What about your mother's family?
My mother was a Pender. Now, Peter Pender came out from England in the early days, I forget now. He was Mum's grandfather. And he was Peter Pender. Now, there's a poem about him. Peter Pender, the bold defender, rides his mighty horse along or something. He was inspector at police. Now, he was in charge of the... there was a prison in Littleton, I think it was. And he was, a big prison. And he was the police and all that around that area. Then he... then my grandfather was... he was in the Wellington in the railway workshops. They used to build, all the trains and carriages and all that. He was foreman there, and that's where Mum was born in Wellington. And there was only 2 daughters in that family. course, Peter Pender married an Irish girl, so my blood sort of mixed up. I got English, yeah. Irish, and Scotch.
A lot of internal conflict,
yes,
there.
Yeah. And what else was there? Yeah.
So what was school? You were in school in the 1930s?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I was born in 32.
Okay.
When we went to Akaroa, from Levin to Akaroa, I went to school. Mm. And then I went to Christchurch. Mm. And we went to St Mary's School in Christchurch. But we were only there from 1939... We came to Palmerston North in 1942.
Okay.
So what's your impression of school? Do you have fond memories of school? Or
Not many memories. Because, you know, it wasn't as though I was there for 4 or 5 years. I was only there for a couple of years at each place, you see.
Yeah.
Well, Akaroa, I'd only been there for a few months, really, I think.
Because
Dad wasn't there long at all.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he came to here, and we were at 435 Church Street. That's where the deaf place is, with the big ear on the front. That was a police house then.
Okay.
Dad was sergeant of police here.
Because Sandy lived in Church Street.
Eh?
Sandy lived in Church Street all the life.
Oh, yeah.
Down with Mance.
That's by Princess Street, just off. Well, the Salvation Army now are on the corner, and we were the next house.
She was just about 5 or 6 houses along from
there. Was she? Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. That is interesting, you know. Yeah.
So which school did you go to in Palmerston North?
Here.
Oh,
primary school here, across the road. There was the primary school where you blokes are across the road.
Oh, yeah.
And on the corner down there was the standards, and then the St Joseph's School was here. But I went to the standard one.
Mm. So that was all the Catholic education.
And then from when I got to Standard 4, Standard 5, we went to Marist.
So were the Catholics always very strong in Palmerston?
Yeah, they were, yes.
And did they keep to themselves or mix along?
Oh, no, we mixed along, Well, Dad was being an ex-boxer. Mm. He had us all boxing. And he used to take, there was a hall next to the cathedral church here, and he had boxing lessons, open for the public.
Okay,
And anyway, at our place at 435, he had a rope round the back, and we used to spar in there, with each other and mates and whatever.
Okay,
And then he'd, at a pub, if you were fighting in a pub, you'd bring them home, put them in gloves on them, put them in this bloody ring. And so that sort of fixed that up.
That's the old style police thing, right?
Really. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you could do that these days.
And the end of the war was in 1946, after the war, in November it was.
Yeah.
He got transferred to Wairoa.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was there was Dad, three constables, or two when we first went there, and another one came later. And there was three out country.
Hmm.
Now there's about 20 cops there.
Yeah.
But there was 90% Maori, in Wairoa.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had a great time there.
That's right,
Everyone was just one.
Absolutely.
There was no whites or blacks and but plenty of fights and pubs. But
did you learn the language?
No, I didn't.
Did they speak it much?
No, not the young ones.
They were all speaking English?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, then...
Can we just go back, because you were coming into a teenager during the Second World War.
Yeah.
What was your impression of the war? Did it have much effect on your
life? No, it didn't really. But I can remember BE Day, Palmerston North here, and of course everyone went to the square and along the Broadway.
Yeah.
There were thousands, you know, people in there, especially on BE Day. And then later, when BJ Day came, people just went mad, you know. Well, when I say mad, not like today.
Yeah.
They weren't all boozed and fighting and scrapping and that. They were just having a good time. Mm. Yeah. Everyone was celebrating.
Did your family have a shortage of food or anything much during
the war? No. It was good. Of course, Dad was he was turned down by the army only because he was a sergeant of police, and they wanted the police in New Zealand,
reserved occupation.
So he wasn't allowed to go overseas.
He
could have,
okay. Do you know how he felt about that?
Eh?
Do you know how he felt about that? Was he disappointed?
No, he wasn't disappointed because he had a large family.
Yes,
He didn't ever say, I wish I could have gone or anything.
No, they didn't.
He would have been a bit older than a lot of those going overseas as well.
Did he have friends that went that didn't come
back?
Yeah, pretty sad.
So had you had much contact with Maori before going to Waira?
Not really. There were a few here in Palmerston North, but not much, you know. There were, you know, two or three in the classrooms and that sort of thing and at schools. But I didn't have much. No, I didn't. But then I went to, when we went 45 we went to Wairoa, because in 46 I went to Oamaru, St Kevin's College in Oamaru. In Form 3. In Form 3 then.
That's a long way from Wairoa.
But I had two brothers go there. As a matter of fact, it started off with a cousin of mine. You probably heard of him. Kevin Skinner was a cousin of Dad's, and he went to St Kevin's, so just went.
Is he the one that sorted Becker out over in South Africa?
Well, he was heavyweight champion in New Zealand boxing too.
You being English probably don't know the little history about.
No, come on. What's the story?
Paul's. Is it a cousin?
Dad's cousin.
Dad's cousin. There was the Springbok tour. And one of the Springbok front row, there was a chap called Becker. Something, he was a dirty player, wasn't he?
This was in Wellington.
The test match. What was your cousin's name? Skinner?
Kevin Skinner. Kevin Skinner. He was a front row prop.
Sorted him out in the front row. Some mysterious reason he was out cold on the ground. And I remember a little headline in the sports paper with Kevin Skinner said, "Anything you can do, I can do better."
That's right.
Oh, that's your relative. Well, that's great. Did you play sport at all when you were at school? Apart from the boxing, did you do?
As a matter of fact, I was a better swimmer. There were five cups at school at St Kevin's, and I got four of them. The only one I didn't get was the learner's
Fair enough. It's all that swimming in the river that's done.
Yeah. I won the junior, the junior minor, the intermediate, and the senior. When I got to intermediate, I could beat all the guys on the seniors. And I wanted to swim in that one too.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let me. Cause
no.
So were you swimming in there was the baths where that became the opera house?
Yeah, behind the baths we used to live in.
The simple baths.
Yeah. Well, live in that and go down, of course, we used to go down Albert Street to the river.
Because
we always swam in the river. Yeah.
And did people fish down there as well? For trout? Was the trout fishing going on?
No, I don't remember anyway. We weren't keen on. But I'll tell you one thing we did do here a lot was go to Foxton and Himitangi trawling for a flounder.
Okay. And how, with a boat or you just wade out?
No, well, we were all 6 foot and, you know, we could wade right out for the rope and, you know, come around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we used to love doing that.
Yeah.
There was good floundering in those days.
Oh, yeah. If you got down to the beach and there were others there, sometimes you wouldn't even take the net out of the car.
Yeah.
We'd go and help them.
Yeah.
Because there was still plenty. And of course, we'd be tall.
Yeah.
Only welcomed us. You know, and we'd go around. Yeah. There were tons of flounder and soles and what have you. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can be found on the Access Manawatu website. A range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive, and the address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Access Manawatu is a non-profit radio station.
We exist to help people from Manawatu make programs just like this one.
All of our shows are free to listen to and free to make.
If you like what you hear and you'd like to help us make more,
you can donate through our website.
Go to www.accessmanawatu.co.nz and click on the donate link on the front page to help us keep on giving people their fair share of the air.